Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Welcome to this In the Country special, Ladies of Canadian Country Music. On the show, Michelle Wright, Beverly Mahood, Patricia Conroy, and Carolyn Don Johnson. Great singers, great songwriters. Please enjoy these highlights from past interviews on In the Country. Let's begin with Michelle Wright. And that is a bit of the hot new single called Strong from Michelle Wright. Strong is also the title of her new album, her first release of original material in 7 years. Michelle co-wrote 10 of the 11 tracks. The video for Strong has been added to CMT's playlist. You can catch it there and on YouTube, of course. It's always a pleasure to welcome Michelle Wright to the show. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for doing the interview, by the way. I get a chance to talk about the new music. I'm pretty excited about it, you know, so thank you, Dave.
When did songwriting begin for you, Michelle? How far does that go back, and do you recall those first few songs when you first got into writing?
Well, yes, I actually started writing as soon as I picked up my guitar, you know, and started plucking out, you know. The very first song I wrote, and the only thing I can remember from it is, I love you, and then the guitar would go, da-da-da-da-da, I love you, and that's the only thing I can remember from it. I was like 13 years old, you know. But wow. I've always been writing, and and then I sort of got, I got my record deal. Well, it's been an interesting journey for me to get to the place where now I'm most comfortable recording my own songs. And not to give you a 10-minute, explanation on that sort of thing, but it's really sort of just been a journey. I started out writing and playing my guitar and then playing other people's songs, and then I started playing the clubs where they kind of wanted you to do other people's tunes, you know. It's not like an environment where you can sit there and play your own songs. And so I enjoyed, you know, learning other people's material and singing those songs. And then when I got my record deal here in Nashville, again, it was sort of encouraged to record other people's songs, to sort of record the Nashville songs. But along with doing that, I then started to develop my own songwriting and hang out with, you know, the great songwriters of the world come to Nashville. And I started to take advantage of that. And I've just really been honing my craft for many years now. And the new album that we have coming out in the summer, one of the things that was really important to me was that I wrote all of the songs. And I'm happy to announce that 10 of the 11 songs on my new album I've written. And that took some time and thought. It's for me, you know, I really kind of wrestled with what to put on there and what not to put on there. And I'm just, it's a career accomplishment for me, so I'm really happy about that. And then to come and do Tin Pan North and be a part of all of that, it's just wonderful.
That is awesome to know that we're going to hear songs penned by you and 10 of the 11, which is awesome. Talking about the album due out early summer, are there going to be any surprises on here, anything that might jump out at us, or are we going to hear what we've come accustomed to love about Michelle Wright's music?
Well, you know, I think there's some songs that are just fun, you know, just silly fun, which is great. And then I wrote a song called She's a Keeper, which is was just sort of an observation that I was making of so many women that I know that are beautiful and talented. And they're, you know, the opening line is, she turns the big 4-0 this winter on the 19th of December. You know, but she could pass for 30 to the untrained naked eye. And when she looks into the mirror and she leans a little nearer, she can see the small beginnings of a couple of brand new lines. And she wonders when her sweet prince will arrive. And when he does, will he realize that she's a keeper? because I'm just running into so many beautiful women, and really men as well, that are lonely and are confused about why they can't find their mate in this day and age. And I understand that. I didn't get married until I was 40. So I think that's a really unique song, and I'm so proud to be a part of that. And and then I've got a song on the record called I'll Cry Too, which I think is beautiful. And it's a girlfriend saying to another girlfriend, you know, hey, listen, you know, I'm coming over. We don't have to talk. You know, I can be your shoulder. We'll sit in the dark. You know, that's what we'll do. We'll both fall apart for you, and I'll cry too. You know, so sort of that emotion. And then I've got a silly song called What's Better Than This that, you know, it says we haven't made it to Paris or Rome, not Hollywood, not even Elvis's home. You know, still it's just a silly song about really the fact that what really matters in life is just that you have someone maybe that you love, and you're, no matter where you're living or whether you're driving a new truck or not, you know, you're just happy to be together. So there really is, and not only do I sing about love, but I just wrote about life, you know. So I think it's a very, and production-wise, I think it's very interesting as well, because it's everything from just almost a very simple acoustic approach on some of the things to full-blown, you know, loops and production. And I like to give a real variety when I make a record, because I get bored pretty easily. I have a little attention deficit problem, and I need to hear difference from song to song. It needs to be different for me. So I think there are some surprises, and I'm very excited. And if you can't tell from my, you get me talking about my songs and my records, can you tell how excited I am?
I can hear that. That's awesome. It is so great. And I love an album, too, that has that diversity as a listener, whether the songs, you know, they're up-tempo and then this song's going to move me, and production-wise, as you said. So it keeps it for an interesting journey throughout. Now, I was also reading online on Facebook, where we get all kinds of good information, a song that you wrote called Crazy Stupid Love. You talked about this. That you wrote with Kathy Bailey. We all remember from Bailey and the Boys, that great group, Kathy's daughter, and Patricia Conroy once again. Tell us a bit about that song.
Well, yeah, and these were such a. We went over to Kathy Bailey's house, this beautiful home out in sort of a farm area in Franklin, Tennessee, and gosh, there's just, I was so happy to see her. I hadn't seen her in quite a while, and Patricia and her had gotten together, and just as soon as we saw each other again, it was great, because we did quite a bit of work together in the 90s, and I always loved her, and it was so great to see her. And I won't mention who, but somebody was just going through a breakup, and they were just saying, I just want a crazy, stupid love. I just want something that's just, I don't want anything to be serious. I just want to go out there, and I just want to have some fun. And the next thing we knew, you know, the opening line to that song is, I want somebody who will dance in the rain with me, lay down and kiss me in the middle of Main Street. You know, no fences, consequences, someone who's not afraid. I want a crazy, stupid love, you know. So it's just real fun. Melodically, it's really interesting. And I hope to get that out as a single as well. So we're planning ahead, and hopefully that one will make the cut.
And have you had a chance to have artists come up to you, Michelle, who said that they've listened to your music and just, you know, they're big fans of yours, and they've got into music now?
Well, my most favorite story is one of our great. She just tied me for Female Vocalist of the Year this year. The number of awards, I've won Female Vocalist of the Year for 5 years, and Carolyn Dawn Johnson just tied me this year when she won her latest Female Vocalist of the Year up at the Canadian Country Music Awards. And I just love this, and it makes me makes me smile that when Carolyn was a young girl, she came to one of my concerts, and she came to a meet and greet, and she told me that she would like to be a country singer. And I said, well, pack your bags and get down to Nashville and get to Toronto or to Vancouver and all those places where, you know, the record labels are and the community is, the music community, and see what you can do. And so she packed her bags and came to Nashville and waited tables, and the next thing you know, she's now tied with me as the most awarded female artist for female. So it's a beautiful thing, and she's my friend. And that's one of my favorite stories right there.
Now let's talk about the song Strong, which we've touched on, and what an important message it is. It must be so amazing to know, and of course you're not going to hear all the stories, but to know that a song like this is making a difference in people's lives and probably turning them around from some bad times, no doubt. And you wrote this along with Derek Rattan, the great Canadian country artist we all know, and Melissa Pierce, who people might not know her name, but she's written, when I was looking her name up, so many hit songs. It's amazing.
Yes, yes, yes. And boy, it was great to write. You know, again, it's such a privilege for me. I walk into a room, I've got my guitar, I've got an idea, and then these wonderful songwriters help me to put that down on paper. And for this situation, I came in with the concept of actually Jason Berry, my producer, suggested, hey, why don't you try writing a one word title song, you know, just one word. And I thought, well, that's an interesting idea. Okay, so I went into the writing session. I said, okay, Derek knows Jason. I said, here's Jason's brilliant idea for the day, that we try to write one word titled song. And so we started tossing around words, and the word strong kept coming to the forefront. And I love words. You know, I just love words. And something about that word is just just such a great word, you know. And so along came this song, and the chorus, strong as steel, forged in the fire, fighting through the scared and the tired, till all the weak is gone, she's strong. And I love that. I think it's wonderful. And so that's the chorus of this song, and it's about, you know, the first verse is about a gal that's being, you know, bullied in school, and the second verse is about a single mother who's, you know, trying to do whatever she can to take care of her children. And it just made me think of, it seems of late, Dave, in my life, maybe the last few years, I'm a bit more observant in the world, and, you know, my life seems to be, I guess, because I've been to Afghanistan, where a wonderful, amazing Canadian woman who was a captain in our military was killed in combat while we were there. And her name is Nicola Goddard, Captain Nicola Goddard. And I learned a lot about her, and I read her story, and I've sat at the dinner table with her mother and her father, and I found out how strong she is. This was a remarkable, brilliant, strong, determined woman. And my business manager, Sue Ferryman, is dealing with Lou Gehrig's disease. This is a pretty tough battle, you know, and she's so strong. And then I think of my mother, you know. Now as I'm kind of living my life here, and, you know, just keeping she was a single mother raising three children, and wow, my sister, who's now a single mother raising one child, she's like, I don't know how our mother did it, because it's just, it requires a lot of courage and a lot of strength, and you know, getting up out of bed every day and doing what you got to do. And so these experiences are just coursing through my mind and my life now when I sit down to write. And Strong came as a result of that. Yeah.
Brand new music from Michelle Wright. This is Strong on In the Country.
Megan's just a wallflower pushing through the halls where nobody knows her name. Sometimes high school feels like a minefield, trying to get through the day. She's an easy target for small minds. They don't know that inside she's strong. Their homework done. Gonna go to college. She'll work as many jobs as it takes for her daughter and son. Some nights she feels defeated. Don't mistake that for weakness. She's strong as steel, forged in the fire.
Beverly Mahood first came to our attention as a girl out of the ordinary, and her career has been anything but ordinary ever since. She has since sent more songs to the top of the charts, music videos to the same position. She's hosted TV shows like CMT Central and Pick a Puppy, and telethons like the Saskatchewan-based Telemiracle. Now Beverly is back with a brand new song and video, Hope and Gasoline, written by Beverly, Patricia Conroy, and Danik Dupel from Emerson Drive. Once again, Beverly Mahood is making country radio, CMT, and country fans take notice. My pleasure to welcome her to the show now. Hey, Beverly.
Hello, and what an intro.
Thank you.
That was
so
great.
Good to have you on the show, Beverly. I've followed your career for years, not only on radio, but on CMT. You're such a great host, and you're great at everything you do.
I try my best, and that's all you can do in life, right, Dave?
That's it, exactly, and you definitely do that. So many great songs. Now, the new song, which we're going to share a bit later, Hope and Gasoline, how exciting, Beverly, is it to have new music out and a new video for all your fans?
Dave, I can't even tell you the kind of the feeling I have. It's like I'm starting over again. It's like when I first put out my first single, Girl Out of the Ordinary, because I've been away a little bit from radio. It's not that I kind of stepped away from music. I've still been writing the last couple of years. I've been living in Nashville since 98, and writing is a big part of what I do. It's a big part of, you know, how you heal and how you get through things and how you share things with people. But I was busy down the Pick a Puppy Road in the TV world to kind of focus on both. So I thought I'll put my focus into writing. And once I'm ready and have that right song to get back out there at radio, then that's when I'm going to shift back into music. And you know what? I've missed it. Oh, my gosh. Just this past week, I've spent talking to radio and talking to all my old friends and
right.
new friends, and it feels awesome.
I'll bet it's something that never leaves your system, right? I'm sure from the first time you started singing and playing music, you just got that bug and you just haven't been able to stop since.
Well, the bug kind of got back at me again because, the song talks a lot about, you know, I share a lot of myself in the song, and it's called Hope and Gasoline. It's about having the faith and the energy to go out there and do things that you want to do no matter how young or how old you are. If you want to do something in life, go and do it. And I woke up one morning just before my birthday, just before November 2nd, and
right.
I woke up feeling like I had that fire in my belly again to go back out and do music again. I mean, it's not the easiest business to be in, but when you love it and it's your passion, you can't stop but doing it. So I got together with my best friends and said, I have to do this again. And I'd finished my record, but I knew I was still missing something. I knew I was still missing that song that kind of had that hope and that song that if women are waking up at 7 in the morning, you know, getting their kids off to school or thinking they need to change life, or anybody for that matter, that it was
right.
going to be one of those songs that would give you that inspiration to do that.
That's so amazing. That's what country music does so well, Beverly. Songs like that, like Hope and Gasoline, somebody's going to listen to that, and that can make a big difference in their lives for the message they're getting.
Well, it made a big difference for me. It was the reason why I came back to music. It was the one song I knew I could go, you know, put out there again and feel I was, you know, doing something different and unique. And every time out, I do try to do that. I mean, I always take my own little path, and I think that's what the song talks about as well. But you want to do something that people can remember you by, and that's when you do something to your best and give it all you got and be authentic and
yeah.
be real.
And the other exciting news is not only is there a brand new song, but a brand new album coming out. I was just looking at the tracks that are on it, and I also was excited to read about a couple of duets on there. Mike Reno, who we all remember from a great duet, Almost Paradise, and Loverboy,
oh, yeah.
the group, and Kim Mitchell, Patio Lanterns is on your album.
Well, it is. You know, I have a real affinity for my 80s music. I guess that's where I grew up in. But I have
right.
a real love of people that are just great at what they do. I mean, Randy Bachman and I do a lot of different things together. We did the Chorus Feeds Kids at Christmas, where we did the rendition of Taking Care of Christmas.
Yeah, I love that song.
And all the proceeds went to the food banks right across Canada. And I write a lot with him, and so Mike Reno is a guy that, you know, I knew back from my City TV days in Vancouver, who used to come on and bring me a coffee and come on the show kind of, you know, once every month he'd show up and I'd just get him on, we'd have a chit-chat. But he's a guy that just has the greatest voice, and I wanted to somehow
yeah.
use and have him a part of what I do. And then Kim Mitchell is just a legendary, you know, Canadian rock guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people, it's funny, you know, I'm just thinking about this, do similar things to me. You know, they all have other things that they do within the entertainment industry, radio, you know, and TV shows. But their first love and the thing they always love doing the most is back at music and playing.
That's great. And what a great combination to have on your album. Mike Greeno, of course, as I said, Almost Paradise, that great 80s duet. He's got such a beautiful voice. What can you tell us about Looking Like Love? Is this a love ballad or is this an up-tempo song?
Oh, it's definitely an up-tempo kind of rock, kind of Boston kind of song. But
great.
It's just got a great spirit about it. It's about, you know, that first kind of, you know, that first crush, that summer love. And I don't care how old you are, how young you are, that first time or like the, you know, the 10th time you fall in love, it
yeah.
always feels the same. And it brings you back to being a kid again. So it's got that great vibe and great feel, but it's got energy like you wouldn't believe. And then adding Mike Greeno's voice on there, you can't get any better than that.
Now, how many songs, Beverly, did you choose or did you go through before you chose the final ones for the album? Did you listen to a ton of them and write a ton first?
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, I've not stopped writing. It's something that I fell in love with when I wrote my first song, Girl of the Ordinary. And, you know, I was young in those days, and I think when I remember back, I was 19 years old, and when I got my first record deal, my producer and manager, I was all set to go. I just thought, well, let me sing other people's songs, and let's get a record out. I was so excited
right.
about that. And part of my deal of getting my record label and getting my management was, okay, it's not going to come that easy. You have to write at least one song. And when I wrote that first song, Girl Out of the Ordinary, I couldn't stop. And then I ended up writing most of the songs on my first record and have continued
wow.
on. So, I haven't stopped writing. And I think, I mean, I'm still doing that. I'm still kind of, you know, shifting songs of what's going to be on the record and what isn't, just so that I feel like it's like a book and it's a chapter or a look into your life and so that people get to know you more. And through the last couple of years, I think as in anybody's life, there are ups and downs, you know. Life isn't always wonderful every day, and I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my personal life and in music and in just, you know, your career of where to go and what road to take. And sometimes you take the bad road, you know, and sometimes you have to go down that road to realize you went down the bad road, now you got to come back, and how do you kind of, you know, write the path that you're going on.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I've done that now. So I'm almost taking a selection. There's a few songs that might rotate in and out because I feel like I'm in a really good place in life right now. And a bit of the record might have been sounding a bit dark. I might have been shedding on the last, you know, 2 years ago of my life instead
right.
of reflecting on where I am now. And I'm in just a good place in life.
That is so great to hear because, you know, I've been going back on YouTube and watching your live performances and your music videos. You're such a great performer, natural in front of the camera, and I've always enjoyed you. So I know so many people are going to be happy to have you back, places like CMT and Country Radio.
You know, I'm kind of very humbled and kind of taken back a little bit this week when I'm, you know, when I'm talking to radio, when I'm talking to the fans again, they're my friends and they're so excited. And it's not everybody's babies are cute. It's a genuine, they're glad
yeah.
to have me back. They're glad that I have new music out. And I am just kind of loving that. And I'm on a complete high. My video is, you know, high rotation on CMT, but also, you
yeah.
know, the video views on it are just unreal on YouTube. So it's a great sense to feel like people are happy to have you back. And I can't be any happier.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about the video for Hope and Gasoline. People can catch it on CMT. It's doing great there. It's online on YouTube. Looks like a great location, obviously. It was the Mexico area and beautifully shot and just a great one of those videos you can that's very watchable.
Well, I'm glad it is that. It was my first time working with an amazing director, Jeff Weinrich, and he is unreal. And I just felt comfortable and really at ease with him. And we shot that video over 4 days. So, you know, we'd get up really early in the morning, 4 a.m, and want to get that morning light and then want to get, you know, the sunset as well. And we just took our time to make sure that we had a video that we were both really happy with. I think it was both
right.
of us taking a chance on each other saying, let's do something great together.
Is there a challenging part, Beverly, about making videos? I mean, they look great, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but what part about it would be the toughest part?
Well, everybody thinks, oh, it's so glamorous, it's so great. They're long days, you know, they're really long days. But I'll tell you that this one was pretty easy. I think, you know what, the hardest part is? It's just to act natural. And I think that is a hard part. People think, oh, that's easy, just stand there in the camera. But it's not overacting. It's not being too much. It's just trying to be yourself and not be too over the top and too performance, because you just want people to kind of get to know you and see who you are. And if you're always performing and putting on a show, well, that doesn't really show them kind of how you are every day, you know? I mean, it's a bit of both. The hardest part is, you know, putting on the makeup every day and getting dressed up and doing all those things. But this video was really easy, because I'll tell you, it was the most natural I felt I've looked and been, and clothes-wise and not being kind of over the top and everything. I remember looking at myself the first day and I thought, I don't have any makeup on. You know, because usually videos, you gotta cover up everything. And it was like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're just going to kind of, you know, a little bit more natural. So it was good for me in a sense, but I couldn't stop looking at the mirror, not to look at myself, to go, I've got no makeup on.
Now, the exciting news I was reading about, later on this year, we're going to be able to see you in a movie called Changing Seasons. You're playing, I understand, a devoted single mother named Annalise. Tell us about that, Changing Seasons.
Well, that was a scary moment for me, because I've done little bit parts and, of course, been on TV and done those things, but I've never done a full movie. So I got the script, let me see, about 3 weeks before we started filming. And when I'm flipping through, you know, basically 120 pages, there wasn't one page without my name on it, without the main character, Annalise. And I was like, how am I going to do this? I started freaking out. I was not a person that you wanted to be around, because I wasn't very nice. I was just tense and I was stressed. Anything I do, I love to do it well. And so I kind of got those nerves. But I guess for me, I like the nerves. Nerves kind of makes me kind of step up to, you know, and step up to the plate and kind of, you know, be my best and try my best. And as I'm reading along, it didn't take me till about 12 pages in that I started falling in love with the character. And I fell in love with the character because I think being a single mom, being a single parent, is probably the hardest job in the world to do. And to play a character that was trying to outrun her past and make a better life for her and her son is just, to me, just an amazing role to play. But also it's a real-life character, because that person is out there every day. I fell in love with her, fell in love with the character, and really just wanted to deliver that character. But you kind of start becoming that person. You know, I started, you know, my son is Bryce, and, you know, his real name is Jet, but I started calling him Bryce, you know, because you just start falling in love and being that person. But, yeah, that comes out later this year. I'm very excited about that.
And whereabouts, Beverly, are we going to be able to see Changing Seasons?
Changing Seasons will be a Lifetime movie. It'll be a Hallmark. It'll be one of those movies, a movie of the week.
Great. That's awesome. Now, by any chance, is there any music in it, any soundtrack of you singing or not?
Yes, there will be.
Good.
There's a few of my songs in there, and, of course, Hope and Gasoline will be in there as well, because it talks about someone just, you know, taking that adventure and knowing that there's something else out there in life for them.
Well, let's turn to that song now. We're going to play it in just a moment, your brand-new one. Listeners can, of course, see the video on CMT and go to YouTube to watch it. They can download the single from iTunes. You wrote this with Patricia Conroy. She's been on the show a couple times before. Danik Dupel from Emerson Drive. Talk about you guys getting together and just the camaraderie of writing a song together.
Well, first of all, Patricia says hi.
Oh, awesome.
Had to get in there. She told me to say hi to you.
Oh, that's great.
The camaraderie about that song is Patricia Conroy is my best friend. You know, we kind of do everything together. And then Danik is a writing partner that, you know, from time to time we all get together and we try to write, not just write a song, but write a great song. And the day I walked in to write with them, I knew and had to kind of set it up that I had to write something that was going to relate to how I was feeling and hopefully how a lot of people were feeling in life. That if you felt like you were kind of stuck, or you had that itch inside that kind of said, I got to go out there and do something more, or I know there's something more out there in life that I should do. Maybe it's a song that makes you do that, and that's what I set out to write that day. I knew that musically it had to sound a little unique and a little different if I was going to go out there and do music again, but also I wanted it to be a message for other people, because it was also the message to myself to get back out there and do music again, to know that I still had that passion and that drive, so why not?
Love that. Love the story behind the song. Let's share it now. Brand new from Beverly Mahood, this is called Hope and Gasoline on In the Country.
Scarecrow, middle of nowhere, wind blowing through my hair, bag stuffed in the back seat of my car, heading for what's tugging my heart. There's nothing left here but a handful of memories. I'll write so you don't forget me. That highway.
Patricia Conroy won the CCMA Female Artist of the Year and Album of the Year in the mid-90s, and she's also a three-time winner of the CCMA Independent Female Vocalist of the Year. She's racked up 8 number one singles at radio and 5 number one videos for CMT. She continues to write songs for other artists, including 2 current hits, The Day I Fall, sung by One More Girl, and Just By Being You, Halos and Wings. That is recorded by Steel Magnolia, a big hit for them right now. My pleasure to welcome back to the show, Patricia Conroy. Hey there, Patricia.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. How about yourself there in Nashville?
Oh, Nashville's treating me well. It's a beautiful evening. The sun's just going down, and it's still 90 degrees, so who can complain about that?
That's pretty perfect, yeah.
Pretty great.
Now, growing up, you were part of a family band, and there was a lot of Celtic influences along with country music. So this was something that you were into at quite a young age.
I was. There goes my Irish accent. I was. my father, Patrick Conroy, is from Galway, Ireland. And, you know, he grew up there and came over when he was about 19 years old. In fact, I have a picture of him in my wallet the day he left Ireland. And he brought beautiful music along with him, and the whole family got infected, and that's a bad choice of word, but...
in a good way.
In a good way, with Celtic music. And he just, you know, had musicians over all the time from Ireland staying with us, and so we formed a family band, and we played all over Montreal. And I grew up singing, you know, all kinds of beautiful old Irish songs that are probably, you know, mostly lost if I don't keep them alive over here. And I usually pull one out of my acoustic shows. The Bold Fenian Man is the song I usually pull out and then sing a cappella after at the very end of my show, and it goes over great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, nothing like hearing a song sung a cappella for sure.
Oh, it's beautiful music.
Now, back in, I guess it was the late 80s, you had won, I think it was a Battle of the Bands, and Randall Prescott produced the first CD, of course. Randall's very well-known producer in Canada. Now, you had a chance, a couple of the songs you had written, Blue Angel and Take Me With You, Vince Gill did the background vocals on.
Oh,
I can't imagine the thrill that must have been.
Talk about memories. Boy, you really did your homework, Dave. It's so funny that you brought that up, because I was at the gym yesterday, and there's one in this complex here where I live in Nashville, and the fellow beside me on the treadmill, we got to talking, he's a musician as well, and he asked me about my career in Canada, and I said, you know, one of the big things that happened to me when I got my record deal was exactly what you're talking about. I was lucky enough to have a producer like Randall Prescott, who had a connection to Vince Gill's people and got him in to sing on Blue Angel and Take Me With You. And I met him and actually been in touch with him since then. And he was, like, the nicest guy ever, but I was a huge fan of Vince Gill and still am. And so that was truly an honor to have him sing on those songs.
Pretty incredible.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I've had so many great moments over the years. And like you said, we're going back to the late 80s here. So, I mean, I've been so lucky to have a career this long. And to now just be really... you know, wholeheartedly starting a songwriting career as well. It's just, it's amazing. You know, my career's been amazing.
Oh, definitely. Now, had you, was it a plan to turn to the songwriting at this point, or did you kind of have a bit of success and you went with it?
Kind of a bit of both. I've been writing since Blue Angel, so I've been writing songs since the late 80s. And for every CD I've done, and it's been, I think, 5 CDs now, I've written a little bit more on each one.
Right.
And the last one, Talking Myself, I wrote or co-wrote every single song on the CD. So it's just been a natural progression that way. But people just started asking me if I wanted to write with them for their album. And this, you know, just blossomed into now I'm writing almost every day here in Nashville with Canadians and U.S. Artists, and just so busy writing for everybody else that so I've sort of stopped writing for myself. And I really want to get back into getting at least enough songs for one more CD.
Now, when you're sitting down with these artists, I mean, that's got to be, it's obviously a thrill. You're sitting down with people who might be newcomers who are about to hit it big on the scene. Like, you didn't write the song with Steel Magnolia, but they ended up recording it. But when you're writing with artists who you can tell are about to make an impact, that's got to be exciting.
Oh, it really is. Like, One More Girl, you know, I had a chance to get a song on their CD, and now they're writing for their next one, so hopefully I'll get a chance to write with them. And I write with lots of young Canadian artists. I mean, I can't even mention them all. Chad Brownlee was another fellow who came down with Mitch Merritt, and we wrote with them, and I've got a song on his current album. I think it was a single called Hope, and he had a video with that on CMT. It's just great to see... I have to call them kids. I think I've earned that right. I see all these kids coming up and just amazing talent. Sierra Noble is another girl that I've been writing with, and she's coming down this week, and we're writing again. Really, really great talent. I just, you know, and it's fun. It's like they're my kids almost. You know, I'm going to be able to watch them, watch their career blossom, have a hand in their songwriting, and it's just really great. Really,
that must be, because as an artist, obviously it's your career and you're impacting that. But when you're writing with all these different people, you're having a part in a lot of different careers.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm really enjoying it. I wasn't sure. I mean, I really switched gears from touring, you know, half a year to barely touring at all, and focusing on writing. And it's actually, I'm really loving it. I'm loving that it's not just about me anymore. I mean, I loved having all that attention, and it was really wonderful to, you know, be out there and touring and be all about me. But I love that I'm really helping people with their writing and also being challenged by wonderful established artists. I mean, I got to write with this girl the other day. Her name is Emily West. She has this...
She
has a song out called Blue Sky.
That's with Keith Urban. He's doing some background on it. Yeah.
She is amazing. I mean, I was just sitting there, and I really sometimes just have to pinch myself and say, I must be one of the luckiest country artists, songwriters on the planet, because I'm just writing with these wonderful people.
I was listening back to our last interview, and you had mentioned that, too, about the middle of the night, and you've got to scramble to write stuff down or to put it on tape.
Yeah, it's still happening. I mean, I literally, I don't know what it is, but I wake up probably 2 or 3 times a night with ideas. So sometimes I do have melodies or some sort of lyrical idea that I take to the co-write. Other times, if I don't have something, like we said earlier, I just don't stress about it. I know I can do it. You know, it's kind of like I've been writing now for the last 3 years pretty much continually, almost every day. And you just kind of get better and better at, you know, just running in there with nothing. And somebody says something, you said, let's go with that.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, I guess the more you do it, it's not a question of running out of ideas. The more you do it, it's probably you're exercising that muscle, and therefore it's going to be there more.
I think so. I think that's it. And and also some of these other writers, you know, they might be new and they might be young, but they have a fresh perspective, you know, and they'll come in with something that I never would have thought of because they're listening to different music perhaps than I did, you know, throughout my life and my career. So it's kind of like you're kind of pushing each other and building from there. It's really cool. I love it.
Sure. Well, let's turn to a song that you're actually singing on. This is from your most recent CD a couple of years back, a CD called Talking to Myself, and the song is called I Know. Do you want to talk about the inspiration behind the song, Patricia, and then we'll share it with everyone.
Okay, great. Well, the song I Know, it's probably my favorite song off the CD, and it hasn't been a single yet, but... I chose this one partly because I love it and partly because I wrote it with Britton Cameron and Jack Sizemore, just by being you. And I think Britton's just an amazing writer, one of my favorites. And this song was written sort of from, I hate to give this away, but a friend of mine had a really bad breakup, and I sort of, you know, listened to her talk to me on the phone and watched her go through a really painful breakup, and she was pretty cool about it to the rest of the world, but I knew what she was going through, so that's where the song came from. Thank you.
Country artist Carolyn Don Johnson is about to release her fourth studio album entitled Love Rules. It features the top 10 single in Canada, Let Me Introduce Myself, as well as the new single about to hit radio. It's called The Whole Thing. She's nominated for Female Artist of the Year at the Canadian Country Music Awards coming up in September. If she wins, it will be her 17th CCMA. You know her hits, Georgia, Complicated, One Day Closer to You, and the list goes on and on. Let me introduce Carolyn Don Johnson to In the Country. Hey, Carolyn.
Good evening.
What time is it?
You know what? It's 7:30, I guess. But I literally, when I was saying good, I was like, what time is it? It's been one of those days where we've been doing a lot of stuff, and my brain's a little bit clogged.
Yeah, you were up to an early start on Canada AM. That comes pretty early.
You know, it does. We actually, I think you guys watch us at like 8:50 Eastern time, but we're really actually there for a couple hours prior to even getting to airing, because we have to get there and do sound check, and they're very specific about you getting there a couple hours earlier, and which is great, because then you're totally prepared by the time it actually happens. But
yeah.
It's usually an early morning, and especially for a female, we got to do our hair and makeup and all that stuff, so we get up pretty early.
Is it harder to sing in the morning as opposed to at night?
It definitely is, but I've had evenings where I've been really busy all day and been tired by the nighttime, and it's been hard to sing at night too. But overall, I just really, what I try to do is in the morning is do a lot of humming, do a lot of just really calm sounds, and it really warms up your voice really well.
Yeah, I know as country fans, we never forget the artists, and you're one of those popular artists. I can remember hearing Georgia on the radio for the first time and wondering, who is this artist and who is this person, and, you know, just being a big fan ever since. And now you're back in the scene. Well, you were talking about the changes. You had a child, a baby boy this year, and a baby girl a couple of years ago, so pretty busy times.
Yeah, it is busy. I'm actually on the road right now while I'm talking to you. I'm sitting beside my little boy. He's 6 months, and he is ripping up the paper that I have with your phone number on it. And and my husband and Abigail just went into a convenience store because I wanted to stop and hope that nothing would interfere our conversation. And they went in to go get something to drink and do a little hanging out. We're on our way back through the States to Western Canada. We were just in Toronto this morning, and then we visited Kitchener, and now we're heading to the western part of Canada. So we got a long trip ahead of us, but
yeah.
I was a little bit feeling desperate about leaving the kids at home and hitting all these cities without them, because I've been it's still so new. And so I was like, I think we're going to all have to come and do this.
Some of the songs on the CD, there's some beautiful ones. One is called Teach Me. Now, as I was listening to it, I thought it could be a person talking to God, or a child talking to a parent saying, teach me how to love and go on and all this. What's sort of the inspiration behind that song, Carolyn?
The inspiration behind that song really was, for me, it was just kind of putting it out into the air. It could be to God. It could be whoever you want to be saying that to. But for me, it was just, help me be a better person. You know,
right.
Whatever that is, I just, you know, we think we know it all, and then we realize we don't, and it's just like, in the life that I have to live, help me be the best that I can be, because I can't do it on my own. So it definitely is a prayer in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love that song. It just felt like it needed to be on this record. I've never said that before. I wanted to try and tackle some different subject matter, and I didn't ever set out intentionally with some of these songs. I never really know what the record is going to be until I get a handful of songs that I go, okay, you know what, it's time to start a new record. This is the core of what I want to do. And then I start filling in the missing pieces, and I figure out which other songs need to go with certain songs to make a full album. And Teach Me was one of those ones that after I wrote it, I was just getting ready to cut, and it wasn't on my list. And it was a new song, and as soon as I was cutting these tracks, I was like, okay, I got to throw this one in there. I knocked something else out so I could put that on there, because I thought, I want to say this. I think it's something that everybody else can also listen to and put their own words in there if they want to, but it was sort of my mantra or something, my prayer.
Now, is it tough when you talked earlier about the song with Meg and James and you ended up recording it, and perhaps you both did, but is it tough to give away some of your songs sometimes as far as letting another artist record it when it's so close to you?
Yes, it is, actually. But I've always been really proud of the songs that I have had recorded by other artists. So many people have said, hey, did you regret giving Single White Female away? Or did you regret this? Or did you regret
right.
that? And I've never, ever had any regrets about anybody recording my songs. I've always been super proud of it. But there has been moments when I'm like, oh, do I let this go? Do I let this go? But as soon as I let it go, it's fine. And I learned quickly that, you know, just because you think something is a wonderful song at the time and that you think you'll never, ever write another good song, you do. It's
right.
like you just have to keep moving forward. It's like I've written thousands probably at this point. I don't know if it'd be thousands, but I've definitely written a few thousand songs at this point. It's just I write so much stuff, and not all of it is good by any means. And it's just a matter of saving some of those ones for yourself and letting some of them go and just remembering that you will write another great song, and that as long as you keep doing it, the ideas will keep flowing. I don't know how that happens, but God just sort of has allowed us musicians to keep creating new stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to ask where the ability to not just write, but to write many songs, as you said, to have those ideas sort of continuously showing up and knowing how to find them. Do you have sort of some secrets? I think one of the things I've heard you talk about in interviews is having a notebook to keep all the ideas that come.
Yeah, I've got one sitting in the car right now. It's, you know, I always have something, and now we have our phones and computers and everything, too. Like, I'll sing an idea into the phone or text myself something if I think it's something. I do find that you still worry about finding new ideas, but they always seem to come. I don't know how that happens, but I think it is just because inside you're always sort of searching for them, so things
right.
that float in the air, you hear them, you feel like you can twist them constantly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just, you just have to be aware all the time. It's like a exercise. You have to practice. You have to keep doing it. And if you're diligent and keep at it, you just get better. And you also, I find, kind of segueing is the same thing, but into a different thing, is I find that when I'm not writing as often, you think, oh, I'll sort my ideas. I'll have tons more ideas because I'm not writing as often. I find I
right.
actually get less ideas when I'm not writing as often. If I'm writing all the time and continuously working at it, it seems like they are everywhere. I don't know if it's just because you're active doing it, you know?
I guess it's like a muscle that you develop, and if you keep it going, then it just keeps. You might think the opposite, as you said, but
yes.
I guess the rains it pours.
I think that's what it is, because
yeah.
exactly what you said. It is like a muscle. It's like, I remember a great songwriter she wrote, "I Hope You Dance," Tia Sillers with Marcy Sanders. She had this passed down to her from Bobby Braddock, who is another great songwriter for many, many years.
Yeah,
and
he stopped loving her today.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's just
yeah.
crazy. Just keeps writing great songs. And he said, if you don't keep your pencil sharp, you'll never be ready for when the great ideas actually come along. And I just thought that was great. It's like, not every song is a hit. Not every song is brilliant. Not every song has something that people are going to gravitate towards. But, you know, you just keep writing, you just keep writing, and one day something pops out, and you're like, ooh, this is special. This is different. This is something I love, you know, and you love most of the things that you do, but sometimes you walk away and go, you know what, today was just an exercise in finishing another song.
Do you have a favorite song of yours? And I know this is kind of like asking someone who their favorite child is, but and it's even as far as maybe not even the most commercial one, but one that is a favorite for you on a personal level.
Gosh, well, one of my favorites that I've probably ever written is a song called Dress Rehearsal, which is the title of my second album. And
yeah.
it was just sort of a reminder to me when I wrote it about just making the most of life. I was kind of in the craziness at the height of my career at the time and just didn't have a lot of time for the people that I loved. And it was like, well, I want to do all these things, but I also want to love the ones I love. And you know what? You only get to go around one time. I mean, we hear that all the time. And life is not a dress rehearsal. And And when I wrote that song, it was really an outpouring of me just trying to find a way to balance it all, because I didn't want to not share everything that was going on with everybody else who had been supporting me all this time.
Days pass me by just like moments. They're here and then they're gone for good, for good. I work so hard at where I'm going. I wonder what I've missed. I can't remember the last time I picked up the phone just to talk for hours on end, or sent a birthday card unbelated. Maybe I should slow down. To-do list. Oh, but there's so much more to do, to see. I want to know that I didn't leave. I love you. Trapped within my heart, there won't always be another day to say all the things you want to say. So don't wait for the perfect situation. I wanna be remembered for the love I spread around.